I'm Thank you, Jamie. Thank you so much. Yes, here we are. So, Hare Krishna, everyone. Hare Bol. What? First, we have a birthday child here amongst us. And we have a present for the birthday child. Where is it? Bhakti Gamya has. So, Divya, is it possible for you to come here, or perhaps, yes, Father G is required. This means deep excitement. So, our Divya, today and on your birthday, there is something like this. And would you like me to open it, Divya, or would you like to open it?
Yes, Maharaj. Can you tell
me? Yeah.
Yes? Okay, good. Nice what? For you. Should say yes, Maharaj. You can.
Should I open it?
Yes, sorry, Maharaj.
Good. Divya, I will open it for you. That's already good. Yes. I once saw Srila Prabhupada receiving a present, and he didn't rip the paper open. Oh my God! Yes, I did. Wow!
Say thank you.
Look
at
that.
Yes.
Yeah. Radharani. Yes. This is your name. Here, Divya, for you.
Say thank you to my.
It's painted by one of Maharaj's disciples.
Yes,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
We have a cake for Divya if we make up that quickly.
A cake we also have. Good, good, good. Where is it?
This is Sita Oliver. She's just wanted to make the cake, so we've cut it and she's going to eat the bar. She had a nice presentation.
Hare Krishna. I remember when Divya was just born, she was so small. And then Radha Leela and Deepak wanted to present her to the whole community. I remember, and she really looked like Mickey Mouse. No, you had this. Do you remember this? So, Divya, birthday is not over. What she should do? cut it open.
Just cut it open. Yeah.
We'll sing happy birthday for you, Jenny, and Divya. This is a great one. Oh, quickly, quickly, sorry.
This smells like childhood, you know. This.
There we go. You want to cut your cake? Come, put your cake in down there. Cut your cake now, look. Ooh. Here we go. Hooray! And see, the Wallabies also made a vegan, sugar-free, gluten-free cake. So for those who, it's quite substantial. I don't think they'll have it all.
It's an attempt.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Yes, Hare Krishna. Thank you. Haribo, good night. Thank you for participating in this. I think you all recognize Divya as a child who draws a lot of love from those who live with her. And perhaps also needs a lot of love to grow. So this was what it was about. So I'm first of all very grateful that you all have been able to come this evening. I think nowadays we are very busy, all of us. Our busyness sometimes prevents us to meet in such an intimate or personal settings. But I thought in the brief time which I have for being in London, it would be good if we spent time personally, and I have one moment, I'm just not stay where you are, because there are many working on this. Yes, here now. When we are taking time out to assemble like this, perhaps there is a chance that we can touch on the more deeper things, on the things which I will not be able to address in the public lectures. This is a little bit my hope. You can see I'm still, I don't know why I take so long before I can be back in Europe. I'm at the moment thinking, are you real or are you in my dreams? So I will take a little time. Also, I must say I had a chance to just chant by myself and also meditate by myself. And I'm hearing from Jiva Goswami that these meditations bring us into a reality that is very, that stands parallel to what we perceive with our senses. In other words, the meditative reality is a reality on its own, and it is separate or different but even more real than what we normally, as conditioned souls, perceive with these material senses. In Sankhya also, what is in the mind is much, much, much more important than what is physically present. To make it simple for a Londoner, all the titles you can have in the university, all the likes on your Facebook, all the wealth that you can accumulate is not at all important to your inner state. Sometimes it even moves you away from the reality which is more important than the outer reality, that is your consciousness. Does my English make sense to you? So is it too abstract? No? Or to say it more bluntly, what is inside is more important than what is outside. No? It's good to sometimes be very clear. And so, yes, so I just come from such a world. It was wonderful. I had 3 hours for myself, which is a rare luxury. And I'm very happy that I can now address you. But you need to give me a little time to land in your reality. Yeah. Please let us join together. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paskatyare Satarine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shivasani Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. About perhaps 22 years or so, I was part of a discussion which formed a lot of my thinking. Bhuijam Prabhu and a few sannyasi god brothers had gone with me to the valley of Giriraj for some intimate talk. No recorders were permitted because we wanted to just share our thoughts amongst the few who were invited. And at the end, Bhuijam Prabhu approached me a little away from the group and said, "What if we create something revolutionary in ISKCON?" I said, "Well, what do you have in mind?" And he said, "The inner life of the devotee." "And how do you want to create that?" And he said, "Well, why don't we go each year to Giriraj and we invite a little group of those who are interested to come and we have Shravanam and Kirtanam, but not in the shelter of a temple, in the shelter of Giriraj, a Govardhan who is considered the greatest of devotees." I said, I'm not so much inclined because I want to keep Vrindavan private to myself and not do what I do outside of Vrindavan, that is preach. I feel then it's so important for me to have a private cultivation of Krishna consciousness and not always think of how can I tell it to others. I first need to realize it myself. But he said, so you do your personal retreats and then we just do 1 week together, only 1 week. And because he is my friend and his wife made a movie with Mick Jagger, a person I felt close before coming to Krishna consciousness, I agreed. I don't think the second reason was so important, but I'm just telling it poetically. So we had 20 years of retreats. Some of you, well, many of my disciples avoided this because they knew this is about reality in the heart, the purification of the heart, and it might confront me with my own, a lack of inner life. So, the retreat started to pick up. We heard that devotees who left their bodies when at the moment of their departure listened to the tapes, most notably His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. So it became a secret tip about some. We had also devotees who were in the last stages, they were in a mattress, on a mattress, and they listened to to what was going on. So yes, it became something. And so after 20 years, I said to Bhujan Prabhu, I don't think we have realized our goal. Our goal was to give the spiritual movement of our spiritual master a heart which would be helping the devotees to really feel close to Krishna and be be in the higher connection, you could say. And I voiced my discontent. I said, I don't think we have even come anywhere near our goal. And Bhujan Prabhu said, why do you think this? I said, because we do the same thing which is going on in our movement, but which does not nourish the devotees in the way we have. Just seminars, lectures, kirtans. It's not really a retreat. A retreat means when a person totally goes away from his ordinary life and also his ordinary mind and makes a divine connection. I don't think we did this. Oh, he said, you are right. Then what do we need in a retreat in your eyes? I said, well, it's what I'm trying to do since 20 years. I'm not thinking I'm very advanced in this, but I'm going away from the world. I'm staying by myself, and I'm knocking at heaven's door. I'm knocking at Krishna's door and asking that he opens it even a little bit. I wrote a poem so that you know what I'm doing. The poem goes like this. It is very old now, 10 years old. what was it? Let me go away from the world. Lock the gate behind me. Lock it 3 times. And throw the key away, because then finally I might be free. Is it understandable? When I'm what we say here is that in the close contact with the Lord, which is often taking place when you are by yourself or alone with Krishna, that what the soul craves can be attained. So then Bhurijan Prabhu came up with this idea that we would give our lectures, we would give our kirtans, but in the afternoon the devotees would go into this valley at Giriraj, and they would practice monam. They wouldn't talk with each other. No mobile telephones or the use of mobile telephones during this time. They would make a little altar. They would offer a little aratik. They would have some proms. Proms means some things like, look again. They would open an envelope and they would find an instruction. Look again and try to see what you have overlooked so far. Interesting question, no? What have you seen but not seen? Or in simple English, what have you overlooked? Or, you know, this is a question I would put, who are you when everything that is not you is taken away from you? Pain. They would have to think about this. Mostly our devotees chanted japa during this time, but the idea was to be on their own, and after that they would go into little groups and share their experience. There were Prabhupada disciples who said I was in one of these sharing groups. They said this was the first time where I, after the initial enthusiasm in my spiritual life, where I turned to Krishna and really prayed to him. There was nothing else to do, you know. Otherwise I would be bored in the 2 hours of sitting there. I was very impressed, but not yet 100% impressed, because our idea of a retreat is not to give people a good time for a week or so. It's different. Our idea is to give them an inspiration or an impulse that they take with them even to places like London, no? And other places. So, where they stay. It is from this idea that I speak to you today. What I notice, especially amongst my English-speaking disciples, my UK disciples, is that they are thinking, how can they come close to me? How can they be close? We are amongst Gujaratis here and we can talk. By our nature as Gujaratis, we are highly competitive people and we want to excel in our lives and so on. That is embedded in our education that is given to us with our mother milk, so to say. We are like this as Gujarati conditioned souls, no? And we want to be the closest disciple and the most dear disciple and so on. Now, today I will say how you can do that. This is not just for Gujarati disciples. It is a general thing. The idea, my dear devotees, to be close to a person is not when I have a photo with my guru which I post on Facebook where I'm close to him or where he dances in happily and looks at me happily. Why, please don't laugh. These are more serious subjects. They are not meant to be laughed at. They are meant to be contemplated about. No, we are close to someone when we are internally close, not when we sit next to them. You know, you can sit next to someone and be light years away, as it is in the case of our materialistic civilization and dysfunctional marriages, which are also in our ISKCON there. Only when the heart is close to each other, when the understanding is there, when there is a vibration, vibration is too esoteric, when there is an inner understanding and an inner agreement and an inner joy to be in that space, then we are really close. No? Is it true? Is it not true? I think our hearts crave for such relationships, which are not external, but which have to do with the closeness of spirit. No? In the Gaudiya tradition, there's a verse which says, many, many claim they are followers of Gauranga, but only those who follow Gauranga are close to Gauranga. So to become close to someone who's our spiritual master means we have to come close to his mind, his thinking, his teaching. Otherwise, we are not really close, although we may have received first, second, and other initiations. No? This is very important for me to say to you. To come close is to come close in the spirit. And my spirit, I think you have seen that, at least that's that's why devotees sometimes invite me. They feel that this Maharaj is a deep Maharaj. He wants to think of Krishna and be with Krishna. No, that's what perhaps you put. That's perhaps the reason why you have chosen to become my disciples, and so on. So coming back to, I gave you a little bit my experience of a retreat. I have never spoken so clearly and directly about this. And I have presented to you the idea, when to be close, I want to introduce to you a concept how you can become deeper and experience the joy of Krishna consciousness and perhaps be also close and closer and closer. I want to introduce to you a concept I have first heard from Mahatma Prabhu, and a concept that I'm thinking about many years. I want to introduce to you the morning monk. In secular society, you find books about the five a.m. club. It's a worldwide. People are taking part in this. The idea is that if you can rise early and do a few activities, hygienic activities, what was it? Physical exercises, spiritual exercise. What they mean with spiritual is some meditation or some reading in wisdom books, and then a healthy breakfast at the end. Then your life, you can actually get a hold of your life, which slips out of your hand. And you gain so much time, so much enthusiasm, so much inspiration. There are a few books, and I have bought a few of these books, to be perfectly clear, because I need arguments for materialistic disciples. You know, sometimes they hear material arguments, they like to listen more to those. There is a lot of research now out on how it is useful to live this, and there is a question: has our materialistic society gone wrong in doing the majority of the activities in the evening and the night? Did we all get it wrong? Is it like we think meat eating is healthy, so we have stopped being vegetarians but become meat eaters? Means we as a material, as our present society, did we get it wrong that we also have our wrong life habits and so on? Do we have it topsy turvy and so on? So, what do I mean with the morning monk? My dear devotees, here comes another very personal confession to you. My spirituality was really born when I joined the movement as a very young person. I moved into the temple when I was 17, but I adopted the ways of Krishna consciousness with 16. And I was taking part in the morning program. The first thing we saw in the beginning of a day was Krishna in the temple. Then we would sing the samsara prayers to Prabhupada. We were encouraged to know each verse and the English translation. We were not singing it meaningless. Then we were chanting in one bit for, I don't know, 1 hour and 45 minutes or 2 hours, I don't remember. Then we were doing Guru Puja. Then we were doing Bhagavatam reading. So some of you might cringe and say, how boring to do that every day. But when you do this with a spiritual conviction and with enthusiasm and with deep relishment, and when the lectures were highly interesting, the kirtans stimulating and so on, my dear devotees, that's about 4 hours, 5 hours of focused spiritual practice. Can you imagine what that does to a person? I think I will give a material example. If you would have 5 hours of concentrated workout, your bellies would disappear, you would have muscles, you would have a healthy sleep routine. I'm giving material arguments, as you can see. You would be very healthy and your whole life would be different. 5 hours. Kapil is, no, Kapil, Krishna Sharan is a doctor, you know. And you know that you are light years away from even considering this, no? So, yes, putting a little excitement into the lecture, no? So, 5 hours of spiritual practice, my dear devotees, each day makes you convinced that in this life you are going back home, back to Godhead. You have not a shadow of a doubt. And other goals become not even secondary. You think, how uninteresting. When people will say, "You, wouldn't you like to have £1 million, you would, as a career goal, you would say, only poor people need money. I have something else, something much more exciting, you know. So this, let us say, is the gifts that are given to the mourning monk. Now, for most of us, the way our life is now, the way we are wired now, wired, you know, by repeated activities, we develop a certain brain patterns that determine our way of thinking. That's what is behind the idea, the way you're wired now. This is, I don't know, you might think of a program like a sabbatical. It is conceivable in the idea of a sabbatical. Who of you has done a sabbatical, if I may know? Bare Vrata Shrestha Ambarish, something like a sabbatical, no? Or in Keshava Maharaj's language, the monk challenge, you know, this London language. We are preaching about it, but we are light years away from it. The way our lives are now, we are light years away from it. So this is therefore not what I'm suggesting to you today. When I speak of the mourning monk, I have a different idea. I don't have the idea of 5 hours of spiritual practice, at least not on a regular daily basis, because I know it is at the moment for most of you not, you don't desire to do this. It's not feasible the way you have put your life together. So therefore I have a different suggestion. My dear devotees, let us be as blunt as it is absolutely untraditional in London. Do you think, with the present standard of Krishna consciousness, you will laugh in ecstasy in your life? Do you think, if you continue the way you are acting, your heart will melt with love and you will cry tears of love in the foreseeable time? Do you think that the way you act now, you will be an exalted, ecstatic consciousness, free from mental problems and problems with people, interrelational problems, misunderstanding? Or do you think if you continue the way you act now, you will most probably have the same results as you have now? I think it's clear, it's the second, no? If we continue to do the same things as we do now, we will have the same results. So, to become more ecstatic, or more blissful, or more pure in your heart, to really feel ecstatic pleasures in Krishna consciousness, to really think of Krishna, something needs to change. If everything continues, we are fooling ourselves, and I would be a cheater. I would not qualify as a genuine representative of an ancient tradition. Therefore, my idea of a morning walk, that's also there, but it's also a good program, the morning monk, is this, my dear devotees. Now, in English language, listen up, please. No? first of all, think about a revolution in your spiritual life. Think about the benefits that would have. Think about the tremendous amount of fulfillment you would feel. Think even about coming closer to your spiritual master. No? This is, we want this, so we, and so on. Second of all, think what is your life expectancy, or what is, you can expect from your life in Krishna consciousness if you continue the way you do. Now, I realize, my dear devotees, some of you are amazing sadhakas, or strict in their spiritual practice. There are a few of you who chant 16 rounds each day, and so on. Most of you don't do this any longer, or many of you don't do this. Think, however, of the opportunity of Krishna consciousness. Become perhaps convinced, that's the third step, by reading books like Upadeshamrita, the Nectar of Devotion, also Nectar of Instruction, or Nectar of Devotion. Listen to inspiring lectures. Don't do anything at this particular day, because this will only work if you go by the inside-out approach. It will not work if you do what most of the people in this civilization, misdirected civilization, do. They make external changes and hope that the inner state or inner feelings of life will change. No, you first need to become convinced. And if it takes a year, or if it takes 10 years, of biting on granite by doing the same things now, then have your 10 years, but you need to become convinced. Then, my dear devotees, look at your life. Carve out some time where you can do it. Can do a good spiritual practice. For me, my dear devotees, I didn't do the morning monk, I did the afternoon monk. I got up, then I had to go to the manor, drive to the manor. On the manor, I wanted to chant my rounds, but I was with such an interesting devotee together that I couldn't stop myself from talking with him about interesting subject matters. So, no chanting on the way to the manor. Or only one round, but I knew I would try to give a personal lecture today to all of you. It means talking about more personal things, more unusual things, and not entertain you with nice stories, but bring a mirror in front of you. And therefore I knew I needed to first become the morning monk. So the morning was gone, so I had to shift it and become the afternoon monk. My dear devotees, Krishna is there if we really turn to him. Mark the word really. Sometimes we cannot be real. We are such unreal people. We only act because others told us, or it's chic to act in a certain way, and so on. But real people act from a deep conviction inside. So it's difficult sometimes to be a real person in Kali Yuga. Therefore, I said to you, you need to first become real inside, or convinced of this. And then the best thing is if you can become a morning monk for 2 hours, let us say, or whatever is the time. That would mean you have to go earlier to bed. It is unsustainable, a spiritual practice in the morning, when you are exhausted in the morning and tired and unwilling. I want to end now, draw to a close, and then ask for your questions, and we can reflect about it. Yatsa vajantyanima shamrishabhanu vritya dure jama yuparina sprihani yashila bhaktu mita shuyashasa katananuraga vaiklavya bashpa kalaya pulaki kritanga. It's a beautiful description in the third canto about what life could be like. Persons like you, persons whose bodily features change in ecstasy and who breathe heavily and perspire due to hearing the glories of the Lord, such persons who are moved in their hearts are promoted to the kingdom of God, even though they do not care for meditation and other austerities. The kingdom of God is above the material universes, and it is desired for Brahma and other demigods. My dear devotees, this purport which is there will is so exciting to read this purport that we will all faint if we read it. So please make it your reading in your personal time. I give you the reference. Third canto, chapter 15, text 25. Again, I would like to say, third canto, chapter 15, text 25. Or 3:15:25. No? It's a very exciting purport. I read it three times today. I must say, I just discovered it. I have no recollection of this verse. So this speaks about what I'm talking about, the morning monk, or the person who has reserved a time where the world is put on hold, stop, pause, and he or she enters the higher connection. I would love to give you an example. When Janaka Maharaj went back to Godhead, something not so often discussed transpired. A Viman came and took him from this plane, and it took him, he went back to Godhead, and he passed by the hellish planets. It was a problematic part in his journey because he heard all the poor people who were in the process of being punished. And he heard screams of tortured jivas, and he felt deep compassion. He said, stop, to the Lord's servants who were navigating the Vimana. And he stepped out of the Vimana and he said, I can't go back to Godhead when all these people suffer. Yeah, I feel it's not responsible of me. This, by the way, is the mood of a Raja Rishi. He cares for the people who are under his rule. And he felt that there's so much misery. How can I go back home, back to Godhead? So he sat before the gates of hell. The town is called Samyamanipur. He was noticed, and messengers went to Yamaraj and said, there is this effulgent saint sitting there. Who is he? Said Yamaraj. So the messengers went and they found out it's Janaka Maharaj. What? Janaka Maharaj? Said Yama Raj, I should have known. He's one of me. We are 12 Mahajans. He's one of them. I'm another one of them. So he went out and he said, brother, why are you staying here? Yes, I had left my body and I was on my way back home, back to Godhead. But I heard the sound of the jivas crying in distress. Oh, said Yamaraj, that's the only way they learn. They learn through the danda, the punishment. I would like that they are liberated from this punishment. I cannot stand their pain and their screams. Yeah, Maharaj, you are compassionate. That's wonderful. But you know what they did? And he gave a list of some of the crimes that would make your hairs stand on end. So I will not. There was abuse and murder and on the list, you know. I think you understand they need to be brought back to their understanding that they need to understand what pain feels like in order to avoid giving pain to others. Janaka said, I know, but I can't go. Is there a way how they can be liberated? Brother, you're making my life difficult, said Yamaraj. Do you think I like to punish anyone? I don't like it. But then he thought, yes, there is one way. In the morning, you have always worshipped Ram. You were, in a way, a morning monk for the purpose of our katha. I'm telling it like this. So, whatever the benefit is from that one morning where you were touched in your heart and you were crying, Ram, 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 whatever the benefit of that is, the Sukriti, absolve yourself from it, you know, let it go, don't take it. Give that to the residents of the hellish planets and they will be absolved. So Janaka said, Tatastu. At that moment, my dear devotees, the oil evaporated, the torture machines broke, the spikes who were in... Anyways, let's not be too graphic. The spikes broke, which were cutting people up. And they all, in their purified, subtle body, were also going back to Godhead. That's how powerful the fruits of the morning monk are. That's how powerful it is in absolving you from your sinful reaction. Why do some of us still suffer? Yeah, it's our karmic reactions which are still coming. Why there is misunderstanding? Why there is so much hurt and so much this and that? It's because we are still part of the karmic matrix, you know, and so on. Why is there not ecstasy? Because we lack love in our heart. Genuine love of Godhead. No? Bhava, prema. Mm-hmm. Or simple bhakti, you know, on our level. Let's go for bhakti first. No? And these are the things. My dear devotees, I know what I'm saying to you today is not an easy disciple meeting. I know myself, I have lost my morning program because of entering the preaching fold, and You know, in the what? Where are we? In the West, people work all day and they have time for recreational activities in the evening, which go into the night. And you know, when you start preaching, and it really gets, there's electricity in the preaching. I mean, there's life. You don't look at your wristwatch and say, I need to go to bed now, you know, and so on. But I also know that Srila Prabhupada had encouraged even the preachers so that they have some spiritual activities in the morning. It is possible. It is possible. For Janaka Maharaj, it was possible. I'm living in a house where my host, a successful businessman who does business with the Saudis. You know, Saudis are supposed to be rich people. You know, is having a morning program because he knows he cannot be spiritually enlivened in his life without this. All of us are this much away from this. It's easy, but this much is made so difficult, kilometers long, because we are not convinced. We secretly are doubting in Krishna's mercy. We don't love Krishna. We doubt the Shastras. And that is, we have to work on this to do it. Even my dear devotees, if a morning ritual at 5 o'clock is not realistic, what's about 6 o'clock? Even if that is not realistic, what's about 7 o'clock? Even if that is not realistic, what's about 7:10? If that is not realistic, what's about 7:15? If that is not realistic, 7:17 perhaps? I'm opting for around 7 o'clock, as you can decipher from my numbers. I'm not approaching us as Gujaratis. I'm including myself in this. I have a Gujarati in myself also. I think I was a Patel in my last life because I have that success-driven mode in me. I can understand it. So, addressing that part in us. This is called lifestyle. This is called arranging your life in the maximum beneficial way. It is good for your spiritual life, for your health. It is good. It is good for your looks, how you look with the sideburns and all, you know, and so on. It is good for you because you will contact a reality that is much more real than the constructed, imagined, materialistic society, which is so active and yet so embarrassingly dissuccessful in getting what they want, that is the nourishment of the soul, the nourishment of the mind, and so on. It is a failure as a civilization. So this is my suggestion. And even if sometimes, like tomorrow, I will go, will be part of an evening program, and yeah, I think I'm a midnight rambler tomorrow at 12 o'clock, I think I will go to bed because everything considered is late. Then I can make a time later and so on. It's about that time where you feel the essence, where you contact the essence. What do you all think? Bhakti Kamya is going like this. I will look at your life now extremely X-ray like. not. Actually, I know that you and Buddha Bhavana have a. My dear devotees, it's not even about the time spent, it's about the contact. The higher contact. That is what I'm talking. No? It's not another Vaidhi Bhakti, you know, preaching. I'm talking about find out how you can become ecstatic in your spiritual life. A practice that feels like you want to do it. A practice where you are making contact with the Lord. No? It's about that. It's not about just the sadhana list. Okay, I'm crossing it off and ticking it off. This is in itself a noble attempt, but it is not always successful, as we know. Is this all right? I was thinking, maybe I should just tell some nice stories from Vrindavan and we can all laugh and then eat too much and, you know, like this. But I think you deserve more. You deserve something of the heart. What I really think. So, I have come to the end of what I wanted to present. I noted you were as silent as a mouse in a church. That's how they say in North Germany. Mouse in churches are somehow silent. I don't know. Maybe because they feel the divine atmosphere also. Should we explore this further? I mean, with questions now or with... Radhika Ranjan.
Thank you so much for the class. And I think for me it was... Okay, I can feel my heart racing because I know that there was a part of it that really triggered something. And there was also a part of it that then also thought, but surely if I'm just patient it will come and you know, it doesn't need to... I could sense the urgency in your voice and in your presentation, and I almost found myself going back and forth while I was like, but I also need to do better, and I'm good, and it was back and forth internal dialogue while you were speaking, and I just wanted to ask about how much of this is... should be driven by that guilt, and how much of it should be also driven by patience. And I think that that's kind of the internal struggle that I'm having right now.
I think of... thank you very much, and thank you for speaking on this. I feel it should be driven by a joyous anticipation. I think you all know that once a year I'm going on a personal retreat to Vrindavan Dham, and during this time I just read and chant, and I become so convinced, yes, there is a spiritual world. And I read verses, for instance, like this. Let us all meditate about Krishna's flute, which became totally useless and did some shh upon when Krishna heard the tinkling of Radharani's anchor bells. It means Krishna is there playing his flute, then he hears the tinkling of Radharani's anchor bells, who comes by and lits the path of Vrindavan with a light coming from her toenails, no? And then Krishna cannot continue his flute, and it goes, shh, useless sound comes. Let us meditate about this flute and this situation. I like this very much, and I think, oh yeah, we can hear about Krishna, and we can meditate about Krishna. And this gives so much joy to the heart. So it is seen, if you connect with anything with a joyous emotion, you can do it. But if you do anything out of disciplinary things, you can't maintain it for a longer time. Psychologically, no? When you have a joyous anticipation in regards to anything, you will do that. A nice walk, a nice friend, a talk with a friend that you are really looking forward. You will find the time to do anything you look forward. No, sometimes you may like to look at something interesting on Netflix, a documentary, and you really wanted to know what was it about, that the rise and fall of the Roman Empire, you know. I don't know, I'm just giving examples. And you will find time. Or, you know, I think I don't need to give... But if it's a drudgery, you can't maintain it, no? So I wanted to shake you a little bit. I do feel that there is so much more ecstasy for you waiting, and it would cure all problems, all inadequacies, all character faults which may still be there in our character, and whatever, you know, it will cure that. But it should be a joyous expectation. And this will change, my dear devotees. It will change. Sometimes this is working at this phase of our growth. For instance, it could be, for some, it could be a really inspiring talk with a good friends, you know, a spiritual talk. I mean, not about unspiritual things, but you know, I always feel here comes your individuality to shine. You have to find out how can it work for you. And it requires some scientific, it's not a answer that fits all, one size fits all. It's not that type. And please do not give up looking for it. There is something that is just waiting for you that will set you, that will set your spiritual enthusiasm ablaze. Please also never think that your life circumstances are too much different. I want to tell you a life secret from me, or London English, a life hack. I have by in from my birth on, not birth, yeah, not really birth, but from 1 year on, when I was 1 year old, I was very sick, and it was the question was, would I survive? I had a type of growth, and you can still see here. It's part of the skull is eaten away. It has grown, but it's not grown in the shape it should be. Should be of a grown-up person. So, my horoscope says I have a weak physical health, and I can attest to it. I'm not so physically extremely strong. You can ask Gokrishna. There are times when I can just merely make it to rest. Not often, but there are times. But I have a conviction that it is possible somehow by the right medicine, the right lifestyle, breathing, physical fitness, saunas, or whatever, it is possible for me to live a life that is, despite my physical condition, that is normal. And up to now, I think I can dance longer than any one of you. I think. If I'm getting into it. Maybe not like Govinda Vallabhai. She can dance very long also, I think, no? If need be, no? Yes. So because of the health, because my conviction is there is always a way. There is never a reason to give up. But I just have to find it out. I have one physical ailment since 20 years. But I never gave up to find the solution, and I believe strongly that I found it 3 days ago when I visited a very, very amazing doctor. No? So this conviction to never give up, I think, and to find, not just to never give up, to find what will work now for me, I'm absolutely convinced of that. Because the Lord is a merciful Lord. But sometimes we need to look again and again and again and again and again and again until the breakthrough is there. So what is for health reason is for also spiritual reason. I hope this answers your question to in some degree. Do we have other questions here? Hare Krishna Talia, by the way. I saw you this morning also. I received a letter from you. Hare Krishna. Devi Kumari. Wow, this is the couple. Yeah, Devi Kumari.
Forgive me if my question is a bit simple. But you just spoke about that breakthrough. What are the signs that we've got there? I don't know, does that make sense?
Yes, it definitely makes sense. Three signs are mentioned in Shastra. What are the three symptoms of being bhakti, of making advancement in bhakti? The first is you feel love and devotion for Krishna, the bhakti. Then is parishanubhavu. This means you have some experiences of Krishna, his arrangements for perhaps his kindness. And the third is you lose big attachment to material sense gratification. Little, we are human beings. We are in a body, so we will always have some type of sensual engagement with the world. But you know, the gross attachment. So here you can see bhakti, an experience of Krishna or his mercy, and a detachment. Here, by these three things you can see. And I have I have good news. Sometimes these things are given to us in the Holy Dharma. Holy Dharma means your spiritual practice. This the effect is multiplied many times over. But again, this only works if we come as pilgrims and not, you know, as super busy people who are just going having busy arrangements for us, no? These conditioned souls hide behind our busyness. And then we give an excuse, it's only Krishna consciousness. It's only Krishna seva. It's a seva to our nature, mostly. Mm-hmm. Did this answer your question? Sometimes answers don't hit the target, so to say, or the black thing, you know, the go- yeah? Yeah. Thank you. Oh, Anjana is here. Hare Krishna and Krishna Vallabha. Hare Krishna. Aruna Radha. Welcome. Is Akka here also at the moment? Not at this moment. In spirit. Yes. Yes, Nityananda Rai.
Thank you very much. So I wanted to kind of have a follow-up discussion based on David Kumari's question, but specifically addressing or looking at Guru Tattva.
Mm-hmm.
Because Guru Tattva is a very mysterious thing that is very difficult to understand, or impossible for us to understand. So you spoke about the closeness in the heart. So what experiences do we have to have some sense of validation that we're doing the right thing in
developing mm-hmm. this? This closeness, yeah. You will somehow feel it. It's almost, you are in a relation, I mean, you are a married person, and you know these situations when somehow there is not a deep understanding at the moment. This is what we know also in friendships, you know. But we know also when it, in English you say, it clicks, you know. And we know that. It is like this with this spiritual master. It is, as you properly said, it's a transmission. Or as we know, and we feel the mercy all of a sudden. Boom, all of a sudden we have clarity in our heart. This is a spiritual blossoming of an understanding and of a devotional feeling of purity and ability to say no to certain patterns in our mind, in our behavior. Let me give you an example. 2 years ago, now, I always like to go to the Radha Damodar temple. I highly recommend it to all of you also when you are in Vrindavan. Try to spend some time there. So 2 years ago, I went to the Radha Damodar temple. And I always feel in my relationship to Prabhupada, I'm such a oddball. That's an English word also, no? I'm trying to learn your language, you know. I feel not as a good disciple. I think every disciple will always feel there's room for improvement. So I prayed to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, could you please give me a sign that you love me? You know, it's very simple, very simple. So I wonder, so that was that, and I was then, the visit was completed. All of a sudden, a young man runs after me and says, would you like to do the artik for Prabhupada in his room? And I said, who are you that you can ask this? Are you authorized to do it? Can you do the artik? Yes, I'm taking care of his quarters. What? I didn't believe him. I thought, you know, there's so many people, really, many people always want my attention but there's nothing behind it, and just in personal need. But he almost trembled when I was, who are you to ask me this? But then I found he was the authorized person, and I did my artik. And in the artik was a transmission, you know, I felt Prabhupada answering a deep question. Same thing this year, we went there, Gokrishna and myself, just before going back to the West, not directly, 3 days before or so. And I wanted a confirmation of Prabhupada for one of my services that I intend to offer to him. Is this pleasing to you? It was like this. I intend to offer a service, but I had for. I just wanted to know, Prabhupada, your movement develops in ways which us older disciples sometimes think there is a difference from, you know, it is, of course it, there is a difference. That's what it means to develop or grow and so on. But some things we are not entirely comfortable with. And I sometimes feel a little bit, is my services appreciated by you? And then Prabhupada, he answered this question in a very unexpected way. It's a little personal, but I was totally alive. These are the things that happen in the guru-disciple relationship, and I have seen it happens in relationship to disciples of mine who are close to my heart. They get these type of transmissions, and this is for me the reason to continue despite my other observations. It's really very very simple. You know, from your friends or your marriage or so, you know when there is a relationship, and not much needs to be even said. You understand without many words what the other wants, and you think, wow, and the other completes you complete a sentence which they had started because you have caught their thinking, isn't it? Exactly, I'm thinking like this also, and this is it's called an alignment of thoughts. And as disciples, this is what we should look into. Then there is, the relationship is like this. And then it's really rewarding. But when that is not there, oh, then we are sometimes afraid of our spiritual master, or we are afraid to be judged, or we are not okay with some of the things he tells us, because, well, why did he say this? Why did he act like that? And then we are out of sync, so to say. No? And that happens. I mean, it happens to me also. I'm not. It's an organic thing. But this is the mystery of the guru-disciple relationship, that transmission in the heart. It is, and you have said very nicely, Nityananda, I heard there are a few inconceivables in Krishna consciousness. One is the jiva tattva, and how did we come here? We will never understand it with our logical patterns. Then there are a few others, but one of them is also the guru tattva. It's difficult to understand how the transmission takes place. It is very difficult. There were four I counted once, but I've... Do you remember? Does anyone remember? Shiva tattva, yeah.
I think it's just three.
Just the three. Guru tattva, jiva tattva, shiva tattva. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Good. Good. So, there are other questions. I see Bhakti Gamya and our Ekadasi. Not Ekadasi. Vilasini Radha. Yesterday was Ekadasi. So, yesterday or in the past, there was. Not now. Yes, Bhakti Gamya.
Yes, could the source be called? Yeah, thank you so much for the class, Guru Maharaj. I think I personally find that there are things that I find extremely nourishing, but I find that I go into the cycle of I maybe get a little bit burnt out. I do those things, I feel nourished, and then I feel like I'm neglecting something, like some sort of material duties or material responsibilities. So I neglect my spiritual program, mm-hmm. my personal spiritual program. I try to do those things, and then I get burnt out again. And so I just want to know, how do I continue those nourishing spiritual practices, even in the face of other distractions in life or doubts in my mind that I may be too much of that.
Bhakti Gamya, I will give you the most sincere answer I can have. The moment you try to make out of something spiritual a program, it's like trying to catch the wind in a box. It doesn't work like that. The Krishna's mercy is free-flowing, and therefore Prabhupada writes something that he writes many things. Of course, we should not just go by one statement, but he says the mercy of Krishna is the active principle in spiritual life. I pray to Krishna, my dear Lord, give me strength. Wow, these are strong sounds. Wonderful. No problem. She is trying to sing like Kavit Chandra. I pray. And for me, the best prayers, which I can really say from my heart, are the Sharanagati prayers of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Of course, I have my little techniques. Like today, I was physically very weak. I think it's the last 53 years who made me so tired. And I'm there. I have most of my rounds still to chant, and I'm so tired and so weak. So then I have a few things. I go to bed first and rest half an hour or so that I'm mentally strong. Then I'm chanting and I feel so dry and so on. Okay, so you're dry. How can you bring some life to your chanting practice? Then I have a few books which I have with me. I sometimes look even into the living name. There's a lot of good quotations from various sources. I have another book which I like to read, a small book, called Affirmations, Japa Affirmations. They sometimes speak at this moment to me. And then I still have only a willingness to do my sadhana, but not a taste. And I know I won't be able to, I have to get some taste somewhere. Oh yeah, at the moment I'm reading The Glories of Vrindavan, let me sing Jaya Radhe, Jaya Krishna, Jaya Vrindavan, and think about the different places that are mentioned. And chong, at one stage it happens, but I can't now say I do the same thing tomorrow, and then it will work the same way. Because the mind is also there. And he says, we know this already, Sachinanda Swami. Yesterday we did it. Can't you do something new? You know, and so on. So you have to, you need to be a little expert and see what works. Also, today when I felt so weak, I did some physical exercises for 3 minutes, which Burijan taught me, and they work very well in oxygenating the brain, you know. And so you have to have a toolkit confirmed. There was Vilasini Radha, yes.
My small endeavor to develop that relationship with Krishna, for example, my japa or whatever the practice is, I'm finding the time, but then I'm developing this bad habit of how I'm doing the practice. So it's not that I've struggled to find time to do the practice, but I'm doing it, but now I'm getting into this rut of, I'm building up a habit of doing it badly because
I'm allowing myself to kind of trail.
So I was reflecting on, it feels like a more difficult place to be at because you're not starting at the beginning, you're almost starting behind because you have to unlearn all of your habits before you can then start at the beginning of going, now let me try and do this properly. And I was just wondering if you had any...
Yes, thank...
Unlearning bad habits before
Thank you, Vilasini Radha. Unlearning bad habits that are not nourishing us, really. No, no. Yeah. No, a lot I have about this, because, yes, Keshava Maharaj says it's very difficult to dissolve a habit. Take the age away, then you still have a bit. Nice how he says, not so witty. No? That's how habits die a slow death, he says this. Even if you take the A away, you know, habit means H, A, B, the rest, you know. So take the H away, then you still have a bit. But even if you take the A away now, bit is still there, you know. So the whole idea is, yeah, they die a slow death. Everything, my dear devotees, changes when you change the context. We are now extremely comfortable here. It's a wonderful warm floor, you must agree. The floor heating works very nicely. Imagine Deepak would come in and said, a fire broke out, everyone needs to get out to save their lives. We wouldn't be comfortable any longer. We would run in creative ways out of this room, you know. So everything changes when the context changes. And when there is a bad habit, you need to create another context in which you chant. For instance, that for me what this works is Krishna is listening to my japa, or Krishna is watching my sadhana. Immediately I became highly alert. Sometimes that doesn't work. Then I think about my life. I think I put another context. I may sit and chant very relaxed. So I change the context. You are dying soon. You are now only, you are already scandalously 70, almost 72 years old. Do you know this, Vilasini Radini? I'm so old. It's not true, you know. It's confusing how old I am. But so then I would think, oh, you better take care now that you do your things properly, you know, that change the context in which you do the sadhana. And it should be something which your critical mind can't dismiss. It should be a good reason why you should now do your chanting nicely. Yes, I would love to give you this. I really feel this affirmations of Mahatma Prabhu. You might see it is cheap. You are not so rich, so you can in Radha Desh they are available.
I just was gifted one by Radhika in Vrindavan.
Wonderful. You will see he does this always. That's the whole thing of his affirmations. He changes the context. I can't afford to waste time because I have limited time. So he puts these things and then they're in the mind and then you think and look new. There are two now out. One, and then Japa 2.0. Some new way of expressing something. Yes. I first saw Vinay, and then our Govinda Vallabha. Yes.
So we were discussing about the morning program. And one thing that I'm struggling with is the time before I sleep. Choosing Krishna instead of just any other piece of
Because
I think it's really important for my morning program if I can sleep in the right consciousness or think about Krishna, hear about Krishna. But just that decision about
in the evening, how you
picking Krishna, reading some pastimes, or listening to pastimes.
Ah, oh, Vinayji, Vinayji. If you would ask another of my god brothers, you would get now the Swami iceberg. You know, I am the person I am, and I know we as human beings require some relaxation. We can't always go on full time. That is the mistake many of us make. And if you want a reference from the Gita, someone who's moderate in his... How is this verse? Can someone please find it? Who's moderate in working and relaxation? There's something like this. He can attain the Lord. Yeah, we want to have that. Yeah. You do need sometimes a form of relaxation. Now the art is to find sattvic relaxation. When you have tamasic relaxation or rajasic relaxation, then it aggravates you. It agitates you. You can measure by the result, no? And you are not really satisfied. At the same time, relaxation is something, you know, you may make a walk, you know, or talk with friends, or swim. The 11th canto talks about that the yogi has to deal with his mind like an expert horse rider who can't always have the head like this of the poor horse. He has to sometimes let it run. So that is... is this necessary? Did someone find the verse? Yes, we found. Here is the verse for you. Yukta hara viharasya yukta cetasya karmasu yukta svapna vabodasya yogo bhavati dukaha. He who is regulated in his habits of eating, sleeping, recreation, and work can mitigate all material pains by practicing the yoga system. If you want to find it, Vinay, Bhagavad Gita chapter 6, verse 17, no? You must be balanced or regulated, Prabhupada says here, in these activities of eating, of recreation. They are all there. They must all be there for human. I have seen Prabhupada, you know, sometimes he would sit in a very relaxed way and he would laugh and he would tell jokes. And he told these Gopal Bhan jokes, you know. Like he would laugh like anything. I heard him personally. So Gopal Bhan is the royal court jester. So one day the king calls him and says, Gopal, how much difference is there between you and a donkey? And Gopal says, 2 meters. Implying that the king is the donkey. You know, he's only 2 meters. Prabhupada, he would really laugh like anything, you know. There are many Gopal Bhan jokes which Prabhupada said. That was recreation, you know. He wouldn't do this in a public. Perhaps if it would fit, but usually he would instruct us and he would be very stern, you know. But I saw him also relaxing and being jovial and so on. Bhakti Charu Maharaj used to say, how long can you keep your hand like this? You sometimes have to put it like this, relax. This is a human need. We are human beings. But see what is tamasic and rajasic relaxation. You understand these words, good. And see what you can do. Perhaps you want to do some exercises before you go. That usually puts the level somewhere. Yeah, I do know. Vinay, we could do the London talk and talk like the best, give you the best recommendation, and it wouldn't work. You know, it is better to be realistic. You just avoid tamas and rajas, you know, as good as possible. And if sometimes something comes, you will soon see then you do like this, Vinay. Analyze what happened. Usually when you go to a rajasic or tamasic relaxation, you are not satisfied. Now look, investigate. Am I now satisfied? And you will say, no, this didn't work. It was a bad plan. Or when you eat late, and you really eat like an elephant. Check your night. Is it a peaceful night? If it is, good. If it is not, next time be more careful. Be conscious, in other words. Study your life. Study. Krishna consciousness is not just an unnecessary belief system. It is a truth. It's true. You can, but you have to be a little aware to see what is happening. But a little relaxation is necessary. And be careful to not binge on your relaxation, that you then all of a sudden you are way too late, you know. Govinda Vallabha.
Mantra Krishna really, and really means real, and that means convinced.
Yes.
And then at other time you mentioned we should look forward to our chanting with joyful anticipation.
Yes.
Somehow I feel this is a little bit of, for me it's combined, because you're convinced of something much better, so you're joyfully aspiring for that. I was wondering, what can I look, maybe this is a very obvious question, but for me it's not.
No, you already feel how I'm thinking. Oh, Govinda Vallabha, it's so simple. Make your chanting something you can look forward to. Find out how you chant nicely. You know, there are things which you can learn.
And if I do everything properly,
yeah,
what can I look forward to?
For the chanting, well, I wouldn't say everything properly. We are human beings, but if you aspire, it is like this with chanting. My dear devotees, listen carefully. This will be perhaps I think it will be the last question, because I'm trying to find the time, but I don't know where my wristwatch is at the moment. 8:30. We are coming to the time where we will conclude this. With chanting, it is like this. If you have developed a bad habit of chanting, most probably you can't get into it unless you were told you have cancer and now you need to take shelter of Krishna as your only solution. Something dramatic, in other words, something that totally changes your context. People turn to the Lord in suffering, you know. But we don't want to go wait for that moment. No? So here's another way. Govinda Vallabha, chanting is a relationship more than anything. So you might have to chant for 4 rounds a little bit, where you just show up in your japa, you just do it. And then Krishna says, okay, she really is serious. And after four rounds, all of a sudden you're there. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, oh my God, what happened? Krishna, Krishna, let me not lose this. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Then you lose these thoughts even. They're not good thoughts in chanting. You think, oh, it's so nice to chant. Sometimes we need to show up in a relationship. Don't you know these discussions which... In the beginning, oh, we are not getting anywhere. There's no juice in this discussion. There's no reality in this. But you still give your best. You give your best. You respond in a sincere way. And all of a sudden, it goes nice. No? So you have to turn up and show Krishna that you try, and then... You don't give up before this. But then find out how you can make your chanting and other things nicely. If nothing works, go to Mayapur, go in the Ganga, and stay for some time in the Ganga. Then everything works. Govinda Vallabha became... grew up in Mayapur, no? 10 years, perhaps? Yeah. My dear devotees, I think we should end now, but I have one last thing to do. I will actually ask Govinda Vallabha to help me. We are giving a retreat with Gauranga Darshan and Hari Parshad. And it's the Sharanagati retreat. So I wanted to leave you with a revolutionary idea that perhaps if it works for you, you can come. I'm convinced this will be a very inspiring retreat. I know that some of you have said they were not so inspired with the Govardhan retreat. This is a very different format, and we have very nice speakers, Gauranga Dashan, Hari Parshad, and so on. And maybe if you consider, or if you know someone who might consider, please take such a card. Please don't take a card because you want a nice photo of your spiritual master. Because I have limited supply. But I thought, for if you know someone, this would be very helpful. Govinda Vallabha has these things, and you can approach her, and then you can return whatever is left. Please, it's not that, oh, when you take one, you have to come. No, no. But if you consider, or if you know someone, or you want to tell your friends, like this, no? Good. Then I will now thank you for coming. I hope it was inspiring for all of you. And yes, we will see each other during the week when I'm here. How did you like this place? Isn't it ideal? And really, the family is such a good host over many years now. Perhaps Radha Leela, more than 10 years, no? Easily. Yeah, we were in the other house. And they are such wonderful Vaishnava hosts, and I feel so absolutely blissful here. His Holiness Shivaram Maharaj stays also, and perhaps other Maharajas are coming also. So I'm happy to that this is the conference room, no? Conference or program room, no? This is a very, very amazing seat. Hare Krishna, Haribo.